Any changes to the agenda? Counselor Fancy had asked that under discussion, 8.4 outdoor stage and 8.5 discussion regarding traffic study Bristol American Ave. So if you would add those two, 8.4, 8.5. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda? Moved by Counselor Charlton, seconded by Counselor Brown, all those in favor. One presentation a day, Home for Special Care Society, Andrew Picker. And Christopher Clark. Morning.
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 And what a great morning it is.
Lovely morning.
I assume this is arranged, the weather was arranged by council.
All week.
I think if we had that power, we'd solve a lot of other problems too.
First of all, let us thank you for seeing us. I know how busy we've all been. Particular thank you to each of you for seeing us again. Our reason for coming is the change, I think, perhaps in the some of the work scheduled by council or discussed by council, which is impacting our ability to access the new nursing home, which we spoke to you about a month ago. We were quite pleased with the design that we were able to show you, and it's the orientation on that site at Queen's Place. It's a joint project between the region and the Queen's Care Home for Special Care, as it's going to replace both Hillsview Acres and the Manor. One of the first things that's going to happen, obviously, is the site preparation, and we expect that to commence this summer. The problem we now have as the, it's not a problem, it's just a we've got to approach things a little differently. Originally, you had been talking about extending Queen's Place Drive to the eastern boundary in connection with the proposed library. Well, now that that is no longer in your plans, we have to go ahead with accessing our new facility. We do not want to change the design, which has gone through a lot of iterations. The building itself will be somewhat unique in that it focuses on the, it's going to face southwest, which will maximize the light and the sun. The other thing, actually, and this is important when you're dealing with seniors in homes, is that it will also be facing activity at Queen's Place. The coming and going, the people going to the skateboard park, even people in the parking lot. We know that from the manor that anything happening outside the manor is of key interest to the residents there. And so the orientation of that building, which has been carefully planned, is important. With the cooperation agreement, which we signed back in, it seems like a lifetime ago, but it was around November 21, I think, the agreement was that the region would sell us land there, and that we worked through on that until August of last year, when we signed a purchase sale agreement, an option to buy. We paid the option fee to buy that piece of land. So now and it's 11 acres, and the boundaries of the approximately 11 acres are to be set under the terms of that agreement. by the purchaser, which is obviously that we care, a home for special care. So we're looking at moving our moving our boundaries and moving them, what would it be, south, and taking in what had at one time been considered as the extension to Queen's Place Drive. We need certainly at least, I think it's 67 meters to get from the end of Queen's Place Drive through to where we will pick up the actual entrance road to the new nursing home. The cost of that, we've had estimates. I think the first estimate we had didn't include the pipes and services. So we're told it will cost up to $400,000, and we would intend to do that work ourselves. And we need to do that, as I said earlier, we need to start that this summer. It's our hope, and it is a partnership agreement. It's our hope that the Region of Queens will participate in that cost and help us with. We're going to pay about $1 million for the land, and that we would hope you would reinvest some of that money back into helping us with the road to access the new nursing home. Have I missed anything, Andrew?
No.
We did circulate our request in advance so that it doesn't come as a surprise, so you, I'm sure, all now have been had a lot of opportunity to nod your head up and down and nod to it side to side. Thank you.
Questions or comments? Comments? Councilor Brown?
The 67 meters that you mentioned, is that to your first entrance, or is that covered like the full roundabout?
It would be, Councilor, the going east from the end of Queen's Place Drive to the road that goes to the front of, turns at a right angle, and would go to the front of the new nursing home.
Okay.
And I say 67, don't hold me to that.
No, no.
It's within.
Yeah. So I also this morning circulated a diagram there that wasn't included with the original package last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see visually what that extension looks like.
That's why I was kind of curious, because it looks like it goes in between the two sections of the access road. So I wasn't sure. On the picture here, it's a clear section, then it's kind of a hash marked past the second road. So
right.
I wasn't
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So it's essentially adjacent to the very end of the skate park.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Deputy Mayor Fancy.
Yes. One thing here, you fellows, you're looking at this year's budget for us, right?
Yes.
Because when we were looking at our 5-year plan, it was on the next year's budget where we originally had allowed the monies to go over to the library. And so that was going to be budgeted for next year. So this would now become a budget on this year's item.
Deputy Mayor, it has to be this year for us.
Okay.
Obviously, the first thing that we do is to start pushing dirt, to start construction,
yeah.
And we hope to be doing that in sort of July, August kind of thing. So,
sure.
Yes, we've got to do it. Toot sweet.
So either way, it would have been had. It wouldn't have worked for you even if we would have been looking for next year for the road to the library. It still wouldn't have worked for you. You would have needed it on this year's budget.
Yes, I don't want to get argument.
Yes,
it's whatever it was, and but
sure.
we do have to have it done this summer, no question. Otherwise, it's going to delay everything
okay.
into 2027.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions, Councilor Muse?
Looking at your plan here, like we got number 7, number 8, north parking lot, south parking lot. Sorry. Drop off. 7. Couldn't you turn that so that you come off of the number 5, the service road?
The challenge is with that orientation, and we have tested that orientation. It creates a very confusing intersection there. You'd have coming, if you're coming, say, from the Pet Value, you'd come up to an intersection where you've got a left into the Best Western, you've got a left into our service road, then you've got an immediate right into our driveway, and then you'd have the right going down the road that turns right off of Lance Place Drive.
Close bottom.
So we feel that would be, strictly speaking from a traffic perspective, and I can get into why we would orient the building the way it is from a resident life perspective, it would create a very confusing intersection that I think down the road would be looking back saying, why did we do it this way? And it's just not a desirable way to design that space. Could it be done? Sure, but I don't think we would in the
you
end.
You wouldn't have to move your building.
Hmm?
The building wouldn't have to move. It's
nope.
Just your parking lot.
Yep.
Questions or comments? Councilor Charlton? A few questions I have are answered, but I'd just like to thank you both for your
thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, council will discuss your requests at a future date. And I thank both of you for all your hard work you're doing. It's wonderful that we're going to have Hillsview Acres replaced. And that is a facility that I believe this council, or the Region Queens Council, has been grappling with for at least 20
January
years.
January 2013.
A considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
Considerable amount of time. So I thank you both. And
thank you.
I wish
thank
you a
good
day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any petitions to table today? Public question comments session. I remind anyone who wishes to speak to council, there is a 5-minute limit, and please address council from the microphone and state your name and your civic address. Raise your hand, and I will call you to the mic. Is anyone who wishes to address council today?
Robin Anthony, 532 Brooklyn Shore Road. In February, I approached my counselor to express concern that Brooklyn ratepayers had not had the opportunity to vote on their area rates for over 20 years. I thought it was long past time to inject a bit of democracy in the process. I thank council for agreeing and organizing the votes last month. In the process of researching Brooklyn area rates, I brought two concerns to my counselor. I had discovered that there was a CSA playground safety standard, which the Hank Snow Playground does not meet. The region has known about this deficiency for some years, and while it brought its municipal playgrounds up to standard and trained staff to maintain and inspect them, the Hank Snow Playground had been allowed to deteriorate. I asked who held liability for the Hank Snow Playground. The first answer I received was that the region had no liability. I challenged that and got a second answer, that the ratepayers of Queens would only be liable if a claim was so large that Brooklyn Recreation's insurance wouldn't cover it. That concerned me too. How could ratepayers in all communities in Queens be exposed to liability because of the activities of one group of volunteers in one community? I'd like to introduce you to the Halifax Regional Municipality Administrative Order covering area rates, which is available online. This 7-page legal document details the very specific terms and conditions under which area rates are established and administered in HRM. Area rate funding in HRM is only turned over to community groups that have met its many requirements and through formal contribution agreements. By searching further, I found only 3 playgrounds managed by community groups funded under HRM area rates. They all meet CSA safety standards and are inspected every 8 weeks by municipal staff. Further, if a community group wants to add infrastructure, such as a new playground, as new playground equipment, they may only do so with the agreement of HRM, and HRM must procure the equipment itself, presumably to guarantee that it meets safety standards. clearly HRM takes direct responsibility for protecting its ratepayers from liability associated with area rates. That responsibility does not fall on the community groups who receive the rates and the insurance that they have. HRM has a very detailed legal policy backed up by procedures, inspections, and approvals, all designed to exercise due diligence and shield its taxpayers from liability. I am extremely concerned that the region is not giving this issue the serious attention it deserves. As a person at the Canadian Playground Safety Institute in Toronto told me last week, playground operators take liability extremely seriously because while the risk of a lawsuit is very low, the consequences are catastrophic. There is a resident in Brooklyn who can verify that, having been deposed by lawyers for 3 days in a $12 million lawsuit brought against a municipal government as the result of a child suffering a head injury. I urge you to read the HRM document, compare it to your policy 23, and consider how well you could defend a court action based on the policies and procedures you have in place now. And I also urge you to talk to your legal counsel, your insurer, municipal advisors, reach out to your colleagues at HRM, and make sure that you have the proper legal safeguards in place before you proceed issuing any further area rate funding. The second question I brought to my counselor back in February related to the area rate for the Brooklyn Cemetery. I could not understand why the ratepayers of Brooklyn were the only Canadians being taxed to support a cemetery. The answer I received, that municipalities have the right to establish area rates and the right to sell burial plots, seemed nonsensical. So I researched further. I referred to HRM's administrative policies both on area rates and grants. To be eligible for an area rate, quote, the community organization shall be a nonprofit organization incorporated under a Societies Act, close quote. Organizations receiving grants include, quote, a nonprofit organization or a registered Canadian charitable organization, close quote. Cemeteries in Canada are registered charities. Canadians have the individual right to support the charities of their choice and to get a tax receipt when doing so. They cannot be taxed individually to support registered charity. Governments who wish to contribute taxpayer money to registered charities do so through grants from general revenues. Since 1996, the region of Queens has been forcing Brooklyn ratepayers to donate to the Brooklyn Cemetery through an area rate. That clearly is beyond the scope of your taxation authority. Ratepayers in Brooklyn have a process to support the good work of the Brooklyn Cemetery Committee. It's by making a donation and getting a tax receipt, as every other Canadian does. Council now owes Brooklyn an explanation, and you should also discuss reimbursing Brooklyn Cemetery for any expenses it incurred during the recent voting, as there was an opportunity to correct this before the vote occurred. Every citizen in Canada has the individual right to support the charities of their choice. When I started researching Brooklyn area rates, I certainly didn't expect to find that the region of Queens had for some years a huge source of unrecognized liability with the Hank Snow Playground. I had no idea that the region of Queens had been operating outside its taxation authority for more than 20 years by collecting an area rate for a registered charity. But once I discovered these things, I wasn't about to ignore them. Even though challenging the status quo has resulted in hostility being directed toward me online, at public meetings, and in my community, all of which could have been avoided if the region had taken my concerns seriously and investigated them earlier when I raised them privately. I do not regret bringing these concerns forward, as uncomfortable as it has been for me. Democracy relies on engaged citizens, and that's a responsibility that I take very seriously. Thank you.
Robin? Is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
Good morning. My name is Bob Gromigna. I live on 61 Gardner Road in Brooklyn, and I am a member of the Cemetery Committee. First of all, before my brief comments, I would like to recognize this meeting is being held on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq First Nation. My purpose in coming here today is to see how democracy is in action. And I must say that I'm very pleased at the results of the vote that was held for the Cemetery Committee and in Brooklyn. There was an overwhelming support of both committees. And speaking for the Cemetery Committee, I am thrilled with the results. It shows the community that Brooklyn is, its support for the cemeteries, and I look forward to today, and thank you very much for listening to me.
So, Gruninga. Anyone else wishes to speak?
Your Worship, Mayor and Councilors, regarding the Brooklyn Recreation Committee area.
Ms. Chandler, we need your name and your civic address.
Okay. My name is Claire Chandler. I live at 62 Gardner Road, Brooklyn. I lived there for 22 years, and I sit on the Board of Directors for the Brooklyn Rec Committee, Brooklyn Cemetery Committee, Queens Recreational Boating Association, and other volunteer positions in the community. You've had an AGM, an area rate information meeting, and a letter, a day of voting where residents could ask questions. Even after all of these opportunities for residents to be informed, it is quite obvious by Facebook postings that there are still many that are confused. We are the new board and have been trying above and beyond to get information out to everyone. We saw this weekend at the Hank Snow Playground Easter egg hunt that word does get around. We had over 50 young children with their parents and grandparents enjoying the event, all in support of keeping the Hank Snow Playground. The vote showed that the majority are still in favor of keeping our playground, parks, and green spaces. The results of the vote, out of 156, there was 125 yeses. Our board has requested an area rate of 4 cents per hundred this year, a drop of 0.5 cent from last year. We aim to continue to work within our area rate funding while also looking for grants and fundraising opportunities to carry on the ongoing upkeep and improvements at our parks. At our upcoming meeting, April 18th, we will discuss and show our area rate residents that we are in compliance and our insurance, what we are doing to continue to up to date with what the needs are. Our future depends on the funding being continued to, in order to continue the good work that the volunteer committees have been doing for the past 26 plus years. We are hopeful that the Region of Queens Council support the vote of the residents of Brooklyn by voting yes to keep the area rate and our green spaces. We love our community of Brooklyn. This concludes my comments, Your Worship.
Anyone else who wishes to speak? Hearing none, if I could have a motion to approve the regular council meeting of March 28th, 2023, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Mews. All those in favor? Approval of the minutes, public hearing, March 28th, 2023, moved by Councillor Guinea, seconded by Councillor Charlton. All those in favor? Approval of the minutes, emergency council, March 17th, 2023, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Hawks. All those in favor? And lastly, approval of the minutes, special council, April 4th, 2023, moved by Councillor Romero, seconded by Councillor Charlton. All those in favor? Passed. Moving into recommendations, 7.1, Community Development Coordinator Dana Henley will answer any questions. There is a recommendation within the package. Councillor Charlton.
I move that Council Region Charles do not grant funding to the Independence and Pickleball Club for eligible operating expenses in the amount of $4,332 from the Community Investment Fund on Europe.
seconded by Councilor Merrill. And Ms. Henley, just perhaps a note of why this is in Community Investment Fund Reserve.
So I'm requesting this from Reserve because, as you know, the budget for 23-24 isn't approved yet. These are temporary, they're asking for temporary, for support for temporary repairs to the courts, as well as nets and posts to be able to carry on for this season. They do have a plan for a larger rehab down the road, but those funds aren't available to them yet to be able to carry out that work, so they're going to do some temporary work to get everything good to go for the next few seasons and then fundraise for that larger project. So where we don't have budget approved to expend from the 23-24 Community Investment Fund, asking funded for the reserve.
Questions on this end? Mr. Comments, Councilor Brown?
I was talking to Deputy Mayor Fancy, and I'm understanding that Region of Queens owns the land that the tennis court sits on. Is that correct? So groups that lease from the region are eligible for Community Investment Fund, and the amount is lower because they have money in reserves. Is that correct?
The amount's lower than the request. The request was for $8,664. The amount's lower because within the last 2 years, they had a surplus of over 50%, and they have over 50% cash assets to fund their upcoming proposed budget.
Okay.
So we had made precedent last year in the same situation.
Thank you very much.
Mayor Fancy?
Along with that, it's just as you had said, people can have money in the bank if they have a purpose for where it's going. And that's going to be the resurfacing that they're going to have to do down the road. So they can't have the money in there, can't be counted towards, because that's going to be used. And I can say from personal experience, cutting the wooden posts to put up every year and then breaking off, that they can do something better with the more permanent, because pickleball is growing exponentially. And the repairs on the surface has to be done, because if it isn't done, it's an unsafe area.
Any other questions for a call for the question? If not, all those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Nova Scotia Federation Municipalities Conference attendance. On the table. Perhaps someone whose name is not in the motion. Councilor Romero?
I move the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the attendance of Mayor Norman, Councilor Charlton, Councilor Brown at the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities Spring Conference in Digby, Nova Scotia from May 3rd to May 5th, 2023.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Fancy. Clerk Levy.
Yeah, so at our last council meeting, council discussed who on council would like to attend the NSFM conference in the spring and also the FCM conference in Toronto. So in those discussions, these names were put forward for the Nova Scotia conference and then for the King conference in Toronto.
And we had a lot of room for four in the budget, so.
That's right.
Any questions, comments? Ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Thank you. 7.3, before the motion is made, whoever makes the motion, North Queens Fire Association paperwork did not get here. So when the motion is made for 7.3, please do not state North Queens Fire Association. So just put a line through that. And we will deal with North Queens Fire Department when their paperwork gets here. Deputy Mayor Fancy.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the 2023-2024 Fire Department and Medical First Responder registrations effective April 1st, 2023 for Greenfield and District Fire Department, Liverpool Firefighters Association, Mill Village and District Fire Department, Fort Medway Fire Department, and West Queens Medical First Responder Society, according to the service levels for each department included on their 2023-2024 application for registration.
And then seconded by Counselor Gidney. Is there any?
So will North Beach just come back as a single recommendation?
Yes. Counselor Romero?
I just have one question. In the ground search and rescue, I noticed that Liverpool Firefighters was the only one that it says not available. Is that because they have vehicle, water, and ice rescue technician, or? Because the other ones is assistants, but they're the only ones that's not available. Or not applicable, or whatever. I'm just kind of curious about that.
I believe it's a choice of whether or not they wish to partake in ground search and rescue. And we do have a South Queens ground search and rescue. So I would assume where they've checked not applicable, then they do not partake in ground search and rescue. Or have, I know they do though.
Yeah.
So, but they certainly have indicated that it's not applicable to them. And it's their signature on that form. So we, best we can answer. Counselor Brown?
It's good to see these come out every year, so it gives us a better idea what levels of service each fire department provides. And it makes it easier to understand why, when there's an accident on the highway, certain fire departments go out in mutual aid of others because of their qualifications and their support. So it makes it easier for us to understand that. So I appreciate that.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll ask for a question. All those in favor? Contrary? He's staying with us.
They come here the whole time, actually. So, sorry.
So, as we know, there was the area rate meetings for Brooklyn Cemetery Committee and Brooklyn Recreation Committee. The background information is there. So, the question today is, do we move these forward to budget deliberations? There had been a question asked of me if there would be a motion today, but all motions go with the budget because they're all part of the budget, and we hope to have that budget wrapped up by the end of this month, hopefully, if not in very early May. So question, I open the floor for discussions. Councilor Romero?
I would like to thank Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery for all their hard work that they did in the area rate request and with the vote. There was plenty of advertising done. There was post office drops. There was social media for the region. Brooklyn Recreation also had it on their Facebook page as well. So they did a really good job. They put out flyers as well in the post office boxes advertising for the area rate. There was overwhelming support for both Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery. Just to let you know, there was 156 voted. 122 were yes for Brooklyn Cemetery, 34 no. Brooklyn Recreation, 156 voted, and yes was 125, and no was 31. As counselors, I believe we did our due diligence. We had our area rate meeting, and we had our vote. And it was overwhelming support for both groups. There is, as one of our residents had asked some questions at the AGM, there is a meeting on April 18th, which will address those questions of her. So I believe all those will be answered. And I am in favor of both groups and moving this to budget. Thank you.
Other comments, questions? Deputy Mayor Fancy?
I'll first say it's, you know, I get both the positive and just a little concern going forward. I think it's a fantastic, I think we got a great group coming in that, that has new blood, new ideas, and I think it's going to go forward and go great. I think they're the, it showed forth even their financial, what they need. But I think also, too, should be working towards self-sufficiency, if I might say so, that it wouldn't be just going on area rate on forever, but you, because Milton, we ended up doing is dropping hours because they became self-sufficient and be able to go forward. That doesn't mean it's going to be done this year or next year, but just working towards that so everybody understands where, with this group, should try to work towards self-sufficiency. But in the meantime, the need is there, and I just applaud you for going forward with this.
Councilor Brown?
We did the area rate request for Seaside Center. This long-standing area rate came up, and we didn't want to rubber stamp it every year because we wanted to give the people in the community a chance to see if they still wanted to support it, and I think there was an overwhelming show of support. With the information that came out, I talked to a friend of mine who lives in Halifax in one of the homeowners associations that gets an area rate, and they support charities from their area rate. They have a playground in their community, and they do fireworks 4 or 5 times a year supported by them. So, you know, if things are done well and under regulation, I see no problem with going ahead. And it sounds like the meeting on the 18th will address those issues. We don't meet again for budget until after that, so we'll be able to know that information for sure.
Councilor Charlton?
I would agree with Councilor Brown and Councilor Rico as well. And I also believe that if there's a specific item in the park that would be deemed unsafe, the members that are here and the other members who represent would keep it there. I certainly don't believe that's the reason to not support the area. So I also think that the meeting will answer those questions and concerns, and I am happy with that. Moving forward.
Into comments? So we have a majority to move this ahead.
I'd like to have a motion to move the Brooklyn Recreation and Brooklyn Cemetery Association ahead to budget, please.
Seconded by Brown. All in favor? Yep. 8.2 and 8.3. For as many years as I suspect the Region of Queens has been in existence, and perhaps at the time of the municipality of the Region of Queens, or the municipality of District Queens, their requests come forward for memorial infrastructure within the parks. So we have two requests today, and 8.2 and 8.3. And while we think of these, I also think that we should think about whether or not it's time to develop a policy or a procedure around the placement of memorial benches rather than leave everyone, each and every one, up to individual a choice of counsel. But that's just, that's my opinion. However, 8.2 is in front of us, so perhaps we should discuss this one first. So this one involves a picnic table and a commemorative plaque. I believe historically we have never done picnic tables, the reason being that granite lasts a long time. And when we start allowing the placement of wooden structures, then that may well fall to us to decide when it's time to remove them or replace them. So the floor is open for discussion about what council wishes to do respecting the these wishes of people. Councilor Romero?
I do not see a problem with this, with a small plaque attached to it. Maybe it would be an accessible picnic table would be nice. But also, maybe to contact them if the table gets damaged in some way or over time rots. And maybe they want to just replace it. Maybe that's an option.
Lights here for discussion. Councilor Charlton?
I'm just curious. I know that there's a bench down there in memory of Colonel Colt that came forward to this council. That's a granite.
That's granite. Yeah.
And so that bench was donated, but then ours to maintain thereafter, or were the...
Yes.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying about the wooden structures being, and I'm sure there's actually a compromise there, or you know, maybe it's a plaque in the area that the picnic tables are in that honors the friend or the request came forward, and it's not attached to his structure.
Comments? I guess the question is,
we have one, I'm thinking of the one in particular, used to be over by the Milton School. There was a school teacher, for a school teacher, was a little table and chairs, and so when it was sold, that was brought over to Papa Carr, and that was, I think it's granite, and so it's staying and maintaining, so that's something that can keep going forward. So I think when you look at it that way, as Councilor Charlton has said, maybe it's a plaque that can be put somewhere, but maybe we keep clear of the wood, you know, that if it's a plaque required or something like that, so that we don't have to, a bunch of things that rot over 5 years or something like that, or look bad. You just don't even want them to look bad.
Other thoughts?
Can we go back to these people and just say, like, maybe you could put a bench, a granite bench there instead of a picnic table, and put it in the area, the other bench?
And I guess that's the question. Granite benches come at a considerable cost.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, again, do we... And someone once said to me, do we want our parks to look like cemeteries? With memorial benches and plaques. And it's just something that I'm repeating that was said to me by a citizen of Queens. Councilor Charlton?
I think we had a discussion before when one of these came forward, and we said that if we got a lot of these, that we would have to make a plan to move forward. And so I think maybe we're there, not that we've gotten a huge amount of them, but what do other municipalities do with requests similar to this? Does anyone have any experience with that? Eric, are you aware?
So when I looked into this, I know here it's been case by case by council, and I think with in other municipalities where they aren't that frequent, that's generally how they're dealt with. What's different in this circumstance is we got two at once. It seems, I think the last one was in 2021 that was approved. Mm-hmm. So there appears to be an increase in the frequency of these requests, and then also have similar policies in our repository, I guess, that could be adjusted to fit something like this. So I guess it would be, I guess, direction from council on this, seeing how there's two potentially increasing in frequency is the desire for a policy or a procedure going forward, but which then would, I guess, include what materials and or parameters case because it's not that frequent.
The questions that Mr. Levy presented were, do we want to define what type of material, location? Do we want to continue to let it go case by case? What is it that you, Councilor Brown?
I think, you know, we've heard from Public Works that, you know, they're having trouble getting people. So as we add more things to our parks, there's more things they have to work around. That's going to increase workload, maintenance, things like that. So I'm in favor of having a policy in place to look at location, look at materials. And I think maybe we hold off on these two until we get something in place to decide, because I really don't think putting a wooden picnic table out there, it's a great idea for people who love to picnic, but it can look awful, and that'll come back on us at some point to maintain it, even though we didn't put it there. So I think we need to have something in place to do that.
Generally in the past, the groundskeeper and director of Public Works are involved in the location choice.
Yeah.
In the past, people have indicated a particular park, and then it's with the gifter, the donor, and staff with respect to where it gets placed. Councilor Charlton?
Has there been any input from our staff on the placement of these?
They, not on these two?
On these two.
It's not until they get approved.
And then they
meet with the donor.
Right.
And they come up with a site that's agreeable from both sides.
I get the concern over the wooden structure. I'm also just thinking, we have wooden picnic tables down there now, but I guess it goes back to, could be overwhelming. But I'm just, and I guess we're only on the first one, but I'm looking at the second one as a granite bench. I'm kind of torn, I guess, on the first one. I get, if you go back to the wooden structure, then maybe we need to have our staff say whether that makes sense or not. The granite bench is supported before the past, and this is in a location where there's not currently one, I don't think. Where is there? We're jumping ahead because we're not on that.
Yeah, we'll wait for that.
Yep.
I think we do need a policy just because it should be, I think, easier for our staff to understand as well. Also don't want to discredit the two requests in front of us.
And I think if you read it, the picnic table would be constructed by us.
Perfectly.
Yeah, which is also, it's a question of mine, respecting, yeah. Dave McNeil?
Just the last time we had requests was when we started to start with our accessibility strategy and all of our accessibility processes and everything. And so we know we're under guidelines and rules to accessible by 2030.
Yes.
So all the things we do now going forward have an accessibility lens in it. So for instance, when you see the new inclusive playground that opens, I don't believe there's any wooden picnic tables. They're all synthetic because wooden picnic tables don't meet accessibility standards. So you won't see us in the near future. You may in the next year or two still see some wooden ones replaced, but going forward, picnic tables anymore. They'll all be synthetic because they need an accessibility standard that wooden ones don't. So I wouldn't want us to go ahead and say, let's do this today, and then next year redevelop Beach Meadows Beach or another facility, say, sorry, that bench or that picnic table has to go because it doesn't meet standards and offend somebody. So I just caution you to take your time we do this for the long term, and not just make a decision today to make it to put it like a wooden structure in. I'm not sure what the rules are around concrete or aggregate or whatever it is, so I just wouldn't want us to put something in, and then a year down the road we say, sorry, we have to remove it and replace it with something that's accessible. So that makes everybody's move. So the policy seems like the proper way to go, because even as simple as the next request
Yeah, I agree with RCA with Andrew's explanation, which make, I don't think that's considered that to this point. I think that's a very valid point that we should consider.
Right.
And we should be looking a little bit deeper into this at this time.
So CL, we can direct staff to look at developing a policy for donor gifts to be placed in our parks that follow the accessibility lens,
mm-hmm.
knowing that that's what our future infrastructure should be.
Sure, we can request staff to do that. And it's more than just accessibility. I just raised the accessibility because I'm talking about solutions to talk people things, but
yeah.
it could be who's eligible to put it in there. So if it's somebody who's never lived in Queens County and moved here last week, wants to put a bench somewhere, does that person have a connection to that facility, that location? And so there needs to be some criteria about holding the accessibility to one connection to that particular park, because I know most of them, I should say most, but a lot of the ones I'm familiar with where people have put a dedication, that person had a lifelong or a long-term
right.
connection to that piece of property
yeah.
or that facility, and not just, it's a nice place to put it, so they want to put it there. They have to have some connection to it. And also the whole issue around our diversity inclusion, having a naming policy and so on and so forth. So I think all that ties together and needs to be included in one policy.
Councilor Charlton.
I agree with having our staff look at this before we decide moving further. I think that makes sense.
So Mr. Levy will contact Ms. Cohen in Waterfield and let them know that at this point in time we are creating a policy regarding donor gifts to he'll work that such. But the letter, the request came through to me, but I just immediately forwarded those things off the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So are we fine with that?
Yes.
I think for both.
Pardon?
I think 8.2 and 8.3 we should do the same.
Yeah, and the same as
yeah.
for 8.3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do know from speaking to Mr. Dion that he had that, they ordered that, like, they kind of made the request and ordered it at the same time and said they would just simply keep it on their own land. He referred to, in his hometown, they actually, and this is something we can think about later, because staff, I think, will bring this back, a list of choices, and what they did in this town where he now lives is they had a particular walk that's called a memorial walk,
mm-hmm.
where all such things were put. But whether or not we want to create a memorial walk or create a policy that ties, for example, Ms. Culp lived in Beach Meadows for most of her life, in Beach Meadows Beach, Ms. Fink, was from Milton,
yes,
the
yeah.
school teacher there. In Lighthouse, in Port Manaway Lighthouse Park, there's two dedications there, both a long time fishermen from the community. So
mm-hmm.
So I guess 8.3 will give the same response.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor Charlton?
I would agree. And maybe this would be a conversation if since they already have the bench, maybe Lane's would be interested in.
Oh, that would be a good idea.
Right, I mean, she was a former employee, so I
and I can give you the contact information. Was that something we might want to reach out first, or we could suggest?
Suggest.
I'm just thinking of it as a suggestion.
Suggest,
that,
yeah. Yeah.
Given her, maybe to Lane, you already have the bench, you just need a spot to put it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have a nice place out back. That's
yeah.
around.
And I know I've been in other communities where they do a lot of these memorial benches, and they've put them on walking trails to give people a place to sit down and have a break. And we've got a number of walking trails with no real spot to sit. So we have an opportunity to designate areas for some of these that will gain a lot of benefit, get more people out on the trails, make it more accessible
yeah.
to people with limited mobility. I think having a policy will give us that opportunity.
Draft up something that's quite big that so people can either decide if as CEO McNeil suggested it's a location that's connected to the person, or if it's one area, and then we'll rediscuss that at